As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. A few years ago, my next door neighbor was determined to have a southern magnolia in his yard. And if you're from Central Texas and you know the soil in Central Texas, you know that can be a challenge. He'd already lost an oak tree in the front yard because his sprinkler system would fill this rocky bowl that the tree was in with water, and that tree essentially drowned. So in the backyard, in that calcium-rich soil in Central Texas, he dug another great big hole. This time, he worked to get the soil right for that magnolia. And magnolias like to have soil that's a bit more acidic. So he corrected the pH and fixed the soil and put lots of soil that would be underneath those roots that was the right thing for that magnolia. And then finally success. He had a tree that didn't die and grew in that right foundation of soil and water, and it flourished and grew and bloomed. Today, we have been given two powerful metaphors for God's love for us. One is the more familiar one of the shepherd, and the other one is the cornerstone, perhaps a bit less familiar to us. First, the shepherd. In today's gospel, the disciples have returned after they were sent out by Jesus, and there is no break in their work. Jesus intends to take them away to rest, but the needs of the crowds who follow them get there ahead of him, and we understand that he has compassion on them. Even though they're all tired, and he is tired, and they need rest, he stops and heals them on both sides of Lake Gennesaret. He does this because he has pity on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, sheep without a shepherd, just think with me for a moment. You imagine sheep wandering around and the shepherd isn't there. Those sheep are scattered, they're directionless, they're wandering, and even frightened. We love the image of God as a shepherd who leads us and keeps us safe from harm. And that is a very familiar description for a people that for so long wandered in the wilderness. The 23rd Psalm reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd, and we can rely on God to care for us and be present with us, even though we are going through that shadow of death. The concern of God is present through Jeremiah, who warns those leaders and priests who have divided and hurt the people of Israel, that God will respond and God will find other elders and care for his people and heal them like shepherds would. But Jesus is also described as the cornerstone. Now, a cornerstone in a building is a big squared block of stone, and it guarantees that the walls that come there will be level and square and stable. Good buildings, well-built buildings, hold together because of the effect of a solid cornerstone that squares the building from that spot. And we all know Jesus is no piece of granite, right? And yet Paul describes him as the cornerstone of a holy temple, a temple that is living and growing. Now, why is that different from Jesus as a shepherd? I like to think of it this way. That whole passage of Paul is really about the community between the Gentiles and the Jews, keeping the peace with each other. Paul is saying that Jesus as the cornerstone is their peace, and they can grow and knit and stay together because they rely upon Jesus. So when we think about Jesus and the apostles healing people individually, Paul is also saying that Jesus heals us as a community, enables us to grow. I think this has a special value for Episcopalians. One of the ways that we have stayed together historically, when we have disagreed or been divided over differences of theology, over the interpretation of biblical passages or social issues of the day, is because we share the experience of worship, that we worship God together and we reverence our Jesus Christ, praying, singing, and we share this holy Eucharistic meal together of Jesus' sacrifice, and we remember that Jesus gives himself to us. So this passage in Ephesians reminds us that it is Jesus who is our peace, that binds us together like a cornerstone holds a church, a building together, and enables us to continue to grow, and then God dwells with us, within us. Now, many of you know that our sanctuary has had three of its four corners stabilized in the past. About 8 to 10 years ago, the earth was dug away from each corner and even along that wall, and piles were put in to stabilize our building, to keep our sanctuary from moving up and down or sideways when the soil shifted or the weather was humid or dry. But we still have one more corner to go, this corner right here. And I have good news for you today. This fall, we will have a project to stabilize that final corner. And the cost has already been paid for by church members who decided to do this, to fund this for our congregation. We will not have a capital campaign, and yet we will have our fourth corner stabilized. And it will start pretty soon, within a month or two. Details will be firmed up this week for when it will start. And we will send that out in a letter. We will likely worship in the parish hall for a couple of months while the work is done. Isn't that wonderful news? That's wonderful news. I'd smile. All right. I told everybody at 8 o'clock and they were all very quiet. So it's good to know y'all got that. So obviously, it's not good for a physical building that's built with hands to move and shift. It needs to be stable, including our church sanctuary. But a holy temple made of human beings, how does that work? Human beings often have trouble getting along. We have our differences in so many ways, and yet Paul is making it very clear that it is Jesus that makes us able to knit together, to grow together, to be one temple together. He is our peace. He is our cornerstone. So as we know, Jesus sent out the disciples in his name to preach and baptize, and they came back to him and told him all that they had seen and done. And he listened to them, and he wanted to take care of them and allow them to rest. And yet the crowds kept coming and pushing, and that did not faze Jesus. He still had compassion. We experience Jesus as a shepherd in that way. But that love of Jesus continues, and that peaceful presence stays with us and enables us to live together and love each other and love the larger world. When Hurricane Harvey blew through Port Aransas, Rector Jimmy Durkitz evacuated to a College Station, but only after he and other parishioners had boarded up Trinity by the Sea as best as they could. As a hurricane was blowing through for hours with up to 130 mile per hour winds, he led the scattered congregation wherever they were with evening prayer live over Facebook. And then in the morning prayer. And then he returned, and they saw that while the building was standing, all the roofs were heavily damaged on the church buildings, and the rectory where he lived and his family was completely destroyed. But somehow he figured out a way to stay. And every day, the whole community of Port Aransas would hear the church bell ring, and they would know prayers were being said, and they could gather if they could in the part of the sanctuary that still had a roof on it for daily prayer. They went ahead and had vacation Bible school over at the nearby Baptist church. And they just kept on being the church. They made sure that they continued to have AA meetings. And they were the only preschool within a 30-mile radius. They figured out how to have preschool as well because they kept being the church even without their sanctuary. When we meet this fall in the parish hall for worship, we will still be the church. Even though we're not inside this historic sanctuary, and we'll be over there in the parish hall as that corner is repaired. When our weeks worshiping over there begin, may they remind us that while the historic corner is being fixed, Jesus is our peace, our cornerstone, our shepherd, and we are the church. Amen.